Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a family moves into a new house thinking it will be their dream home, only to find out the former deceased owner's dreams still live there.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, if you want to support our program, we greatly appreciate that. That is what keeps our show on the air. It is only $5 a month. You can sign up two different places, your choice, through our website, ghostpodcast.com, or Patreon. We've got the page there, patreon.com/realghoststories, or just search Real Ghost Stories Online on Patreon. And $5 a month there. Same content both places. You can even get 1 month free if you want. You sign up for an annual membership on either platform. Patreon now offering annual memberships, which is new and cool. So, way to get a little bit extra for a little less money if you want. Get that extra month. You get all the EPP bonus episodes, new ones every single week. You get the archive. You get advanced episodes of the show weeks before they're released. All of it commercial free. And it's all there exclusively for EPP members at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Harper joining you on today's episode. It's the weekend kid-friendly edition of Real Ghost Stories Online. Welcome, Harper. Oh, got to press your mic on. There you go.
Thank you. Hey. And it's awesome being here on the show.
It is, as you hit the monitor over there with your hand, as you so expressively say, being here on the show, and you hit the computer.
But
no, you're fine. No, I know you love being in here, and I love having you in here on the weekends, and a lot of folks love hearing you on the air, so it's always fun to have you get in. School for you started, well, as we record it this week. This will be released in mid-September, but it's the end of August as we're doing this, and we're doing the virtual thing online. Today was kind of the first day you had some stuff in there.
Yeah, because like yesterday on Monday, it was just watching a couple of videos being introduced to everybody. Mm-hmm. Nothing really worked. Just a couple of videos.
Yeah. So you created an avatar, because I know that's like part of it, of like how you look when you're being represented. So what did you do for your avatar?
Well, I had this idea. I was obviously still going to do the red hair. Mm-hmm. They didn't really have a color for the eyes. It's just like pitch black, dark eyes.
Okay, so you're like a black-eyed child.
Dead eyes.
Okay.
And so I chose this like really cute pink shirt and some jeans and then this pink purse. And then I had this idea. I wonder what the Chinese food would look like in my hand. And it looked like I was worshipping Chinese food.
Yeah. And for some reason, the option with the arm was like holding a box of Chinese takeout. And Harper loves Chinese takeout. So it looks like a black-eyed child worshipping a box of Chinese takeout.
But I chose pizza instead.
Oh, you did pizza. Okay. You went to pizza. Because originally, when the last time I saw it, it was Chinese takeout. So there you go. And welcome to 2020, everybody. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in, of course, at realghoststoriesonline.com. I don't know that you've heard any black-eyed children stories. Have we ever talked about black-eyed children?
No.
Do you even know what it is? Or when I just said that to you before, when you said black eyes, you didn't even know what I was referring to, did you?
No.
There is... I'll try and find some stories, and maybe next week we can incorporate one into the show.
Why? Are they like child demons?
Well, that's the thing. People don't know. It's weird. There's a phenomena that goes on where the story goes, and they're all somewhat similar in nature, The classic one would be some children come knocking on your door, or a child comes knocking on the door late at night. And, you know, as an adult, late at night, it's dark out, there's a little kid on your porch. You're concerned, you know, what's wrong that this child came to your random house to knock on the door? Your instinct would be that there's somebody chasing this child, or someone's trying to get this child, and this child is seeking refuge at the nearest house with lights on, essentially. And then the child starts talking and insisting on coming into the house for some reason, to use the phone, to do something, to get away from something. And very, very insistent. And then the homeowner looks at the child in greater detail, just look into their face. When you talk to someone, you look into their eyes, and they realize it's the pupils are just solid black. There's no color. You know, you have blue eyes and then your pupil is black. It's just like a solid black eye. It's beyond pupil, and it's beyond iris, and it's beyond the white of your eyes. The whole thing is black. So it looks kind of dead almost, but it's and these occurrences get reported kind of all over the country and all over the world. And it's really a creepy phenomena, because it's this innocence of this child, and then this phenomena of, oh my God, there's something not right here. This doesn't even look human. Because that's not how any human eye looks.
My first instinct would be slam the door.
And that's what a lot of people do. And then
I'm not letting this thing inside of my home. I am terrified on what it could do.
Yep.
And it's just like, no, you stay out there. I don't care if wolves eat you or not. You must be already dead, so just stay the heck away from me.
Yeah, let the wolves go for it. Yeah, I mean, it's a scary thing. I don't think I would be letting anyone in my house if that was how it was being presented. It's scary. It's weird. But there's many stories of that. But
the question is, how does it happen?
That's what nobody knows. Yeah. It's just kind of randomly. Is it a ghost? Is it a demon? Is it?
Is it this child terrorist cutting their eyes out?
No, it's not that. It's because they appear to be able to see. So it's very bizarre. But anyway, that's great that you've created your avatar as a black-eyed child.
Well, that's how they made. Well, there was absolutely no color for the eyes.
So that's what you get.
Yeah, and as I was like scrolling on top of the screen with where I was with the eyes, I thought it was the eye color. The eye color, but no, it was the skin. And I saw this like blue, yellow, and like red skin.
So you can make your skin blue, but your eyes are, it's the whole classroom is all black-eyed children with blue skin. Sounds like alien class of some sort.
No, and so I clicked on it. Just like, what the hell?
There you go. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to our first story. It says, my name's Rachel. I don't know if you've read my first story I sent in, but I'm an empath and overly sensitive to the spirit realm. My first story was about seeing my grandmother and my father after their deaths. I was just listening to the podcast, still am. You guys are just talking about people putting home security video systems in their homes and wondering if it would lead to more people discovering hauntings. It reminded me of when my husband and I moved into our first house. We were purchasing about 3 years ago. A little backstory about our new house. The couple that lived here before we were was an elderly couple that traveled a lot and bought this house as a fixer-upper to have a home to come home to. They put a lot of work into the house to make it beautiful. Unfortunately, on their last trip together, they were in a bad vehicle accident and the husband was killed. They loved this house. It was their dream. The first time I stepped into the house, I knew it was ours. I felt love and happiness. I felt at home. When we finally got through all the buying process and went into the house the final time, the previous owner would be there too. When she handed me the keys, I hugged her and told her, thank you for letting your dream become ours. So we moved in, get things moved around and settled, and decided to put a new security system in. We were putting up the security cameras. My husband was placing the cameras, and I was manning the computer to make sure the entire room was placed and viewable. As I'm watching the four different camera feeds as he's maneuvering the last one in place, I watch as a large orb went from our kitchen to our laundry room, to the porch, and then out the back door. I just sat there, stunned. I couldn't even say anything. I could feel him. I am 100% positive it was the husband of the lady who sold us our home. He was just checking in, making sure we were taking care of the home we all love. I've never felt him here again. I hope he either moved on to whatever happens after life here, or at least went to live wherever it is his wife went. Thank you guys for all you do. I love all your podcasts. You give those of us that some others view as crazy a place to tell our stories. It listens. I listen throughout the workday, and it helps with my anxiety. Keep up the great work.
It's just this friendly couple checking in, seeing how the house is doing. It's really nothing scary. Like, I wouldn't be scared. I'd just be like, hi, thanks for letting your dream become ours.
Yeah, and it's a good example of an orb and being an actual orb and seeing it on camera, moving from camera to camera, room to room. That right there is a good example of where you can say this, in fact, is an orb and not just some weird refraction of light, which happens on tons of pictures. Video is really one of the more evidentiary ways of actually proving that there's an orb, because you can see its path. And when it's not just moving in relation to where your light is, or another light being shown at your camera to create the light refraction, this would be a great example of some sort of intelligent thing that is being represented as an orb.
And it's just, most of the things that were like almost like people shaped were shadows. From what I can hear on the show.
Yeah, we hear shadows, we hear about orbs. To me, it seems like it's an energy thing, and it depends how much energy something has, that in its ability to show itself. Sometimes it's a stronger energy than others. Just like sometimes, you know, during the day, you have more energy to go play than other times of the day. I think sometimes that's the case with ghosts. Sometimes they have more energy to show themselves, and sometimes it's just this little ball of light. Sometimes it's a shadow. Sometimes it's full body and you can see them clear as day.
I wonder if the afterlife is like being an orb floating around.
Do you like being able to float? Is that the question?
No, like being the orb.
Or being the, like, just being the bubble that floats around, and you're like stuck in it. I don't know. I don't know if it's like that, or if that's just what we're seeing as the representation in our world, but they're really just walking. But what we're perceiving sometimes is just this bubble of light. But that's all it is. I don't know. It's interesting to think about. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next letter, it says, when I was about 8 months pregnant, a beautiful stray dog came to my daughter while she was playing outside. We lived in a condo, but our backyard was a huge public park with trees, tennis courts. It was a cool sunny day, and the neighborhood kids are playing outside. I heard Mamie, my 8-year-old daughter, calling for me to come outside, and I found her standing there with a tall, slim, incredibly beautiful light brown boxer with a fancy collar. The dog was so tall, with the longest legs I've ever seen on a boxer. She had small paws and stood perfectly still as if she were a model. Her tail and ears were cropped, and her muzzle was black. She reminded me of a light brown deer. I called the number on her fancy collar and talked to a veterinarian. After some digging, finally found the people who lost the dog. Two mean women came to pick her up a few hours later. They seemed bothered and frustrated by the dog, telling us that she keeps getting out of the garage. The original owner was from Michigan and died of a heart attack, and this had been a show dog. I assume they inherited the boxer. As they left, we felt horrible. They were horrible, and I wanted to keep the dog, but they left with her, and it all happened so fast. The next day, I stood at the window that faces the big park. I don't know why, but I cried a little. I've never even owned a dog, but I miss that beautiful, slim, long-legged boxer. I imagine that beautiful dog in a garage all day. Who would want to live with those two grumpy women? I prayed, kind of, not really a prayer. It was more like a mental message in a bottle that I kind of tossed into the field. I tried to call the dog back with my mind. The next day, I heard Mimi outside again, yelling for me. There she was, with the boxer. The women were right. The dog did keep getting out. We brought her inside and threw away her tags and kept her name as it was. I wonder if she was with her owner when he died. A few weeks went by, and there we were, loving the dog. Zella was her name, and she seemed to love us too. She never ran away, and Mimi played with her in the park without a leash, so I knew it was meant to be. On a sunny day, like all the other summer days, Mimi came running inside the condo with Zella by her side. Mimi's face was white, her eyes huge. She looked like she was in shock and scared to death. She said, "I saw a shadow." She explained to me she saw a person walking with them that looked just like a shadow. She saw it out of the corner of her eye. When she looked at it, it ran away so fast and it was gone, and she immediately ran inside. I took her outside and showed me the exact place where she saw it. Mimi and Zella were walking that way, east, and she saw it to her left, north. This time, she had Zella on a leash. Technically, it could have been her own shadow because she saw it north of her, but our shadows were there and they were short and not exactly where she saw the tall shadow. She saw it to the northwest and our shadows were very much to the northeast. She was sure it was standing beside her, taller than her and not on the ground like our shadows. She was convinced it was a shadow person. She never mentioned it again. We never talked about it again. And she never had any other spooky experience like that again. At least, nothing she ever told me about. I always wondered if the shadow person was maybe Zella's owner, who died. Years went by, and we moved to a bungalow downtown. Now my youngest daughter was 8, and Mimi was 16. No talk of shadow people, and Zella died years ago. Cecilia had never heard the shadow person story, and we had never had any ghost stories floating around. Then, in the middle of the night, Cecilia came bursting into my bedroom. She came through the door so hard it hit the wall with a big thud. She jumped on the bed and was terrified. She said she saw people in her room. I took her upstairs to her bedroom and looked all around. On the way up, I turned on lights, did a thorough scan to ease her mind, and in her room, I asked her where she saw the people. And this is what she told me. She said in her sleep, she felt like people were in the room. She said she heard carnival-type music, faintly, like circus music or piano music, she said. She opened her eyes and saw two shadows standing on either side of her doorway. We had remodeled the old bungalow-style house, and she did not even have a door at the time. We were busy standing and staring at the doors, so the two shadow men were standing on either side inside her bedroom, like guards do, she said. They did not move at all. So she just sat up for a little bit, looked at them, trying to figure out if it really was what it looked like. She got out of bed slowly, never taking her eyes off of them. The room was somewhat dark, but we lived close to downtown and on the corner. There were streetlights on both sides of the house, so the house was never very dark at night. As she walked slowly through the doorway into the living room, she said the shadow man on her right side moved a little bit. His head followed her like he was watching her walk out the door. Then she ran. As she ran through the living room into the kitchen to come downstairs, she said she saw more people in the living room. She said she heard the same music from her dream. She said it sounded like carnival music, like old-fashioned piano music. She saw kids running around and heard giggling. She saw a bicycle with one giant front wheel like the olden days. The house was built in 1921. She ran down the stairs and turned the corner to come into my bedroom, and she said another shadow man was standing guard by my door. There was a door to my bedroom and it was closed, but there was just like the other two shadow people. She burst into my room and woke me up. She said she was in a state of panic. It never happened again. We moved out of that house about 5 years later. I thought there were bad energies in this house, but I didn't think that right before I left. Looking back on the past few years, I just wondered if there was bad mojo in that house. Cecilia and I had not talked much about the shadow people, but after that night, I did tell her about the time her older sister saw a shadow person too. Recently, I heard a podcast with a guest who deals with hauntings, and she said there are rarely more than one shadow people in a house. She said if there's a house with more than one, then there may be a serious problem. I wanted to share the story with this lady who I heard on the podcast, so I asked Cecilia again to tell me the story. She's 19 now. She told me it the exact way she did when she was 8. I could tell the memory is still vivid. There was just one thing she added this time. She said the shadow people do not look like the figures we see in scary movies. Their edges are not blurry. They're not transparent. She said they look solid, 3D, real, just like if you dipped you in black ink, but not shiny, just black. The edges are clear and crisp, just more of a 3D type person.
That's scary to have more than one shadow person in your house, especially since they're shadow people.
Mm-hmm. I would disagree on the thing of it not being common that there's more than one shadow person in a house. I would say I have more stories, or I've heard more stories where there's more than one in a house than I've heard it where there's just one. I think quite oftentimes when there's a haunting, there's multiple things going on. And sometimes it's one thing that's manipulating things to make it look like there's more, but I oftentimes think too when there's a haunting, sometimes it's deeper than just the house being haunted. It's more so the individual has the ability to sense those things while others do not. That's why you can have a haunted house where the current owner may have nothing going on. The next owner sees and feels a whole bunch of things. And then the next owner, again, says absolutely nothing's going on. I think sometimes it very much plays into just how sensitive someone is to the other side.
I think they have the sixth sense.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And you can call it whatever you want. I mean, sixth sense. The way that it's commonly used now is empathic or an empath. That's someone who is sensitive to things that are kind of beyond just our normal sensitivities. It's, you know, enveloping almost all of our senses and then something else sometimes, something where you can't put your finger on it because you're not necessarily hearing it. You're not necessarily seeing it. You're not necessarily, tasting it. Sometimes it's just, it's a knowledge that's there, almost like a download of information. Although sometimes our other senses are involved with seeing or experiencing something. Along with some sort of feeling that we get. Sometimes the feeling comes on before our other otherwise recognized senses will pick something up. And then it's almost validated then by our eyes or our ears or whatever it may be, or smell. But sometimes that feeling starts and then 5-10 minutes later, then you see something. But then you have to ask yourself, well, what was it? If I didn't see or smell or anything, this thing before, how did I know something was about to happen? Or sense that it was there. What was tipping me off? What was I sensing that my brain just knew because it wasn't being picked up by my other senses? So kind of interesting to think about.
Yeah, but same thing with not the same thing, but I find old timey carnival music very, very creepy.
Sure. And I think a lot of people find it creepy. I find it creepy too. And that's an interesting thing to think about. Cause when that stuff was out and when it was created, I mean, it was created to bring joy to people. It wasn't created to scare people. It wasn't created to cause torment. So why is it that in our modern psyche of today, we look at things and when we hear carnival music, oftentimes it's more associated with horror than it is associated with joy and fun. And I mean, same with clowns too. Again, not created to be scary, created to bring joy in a different place and time.
Honestly, I'm not trying to be mean to any clowns that are probably listening to this, but I find But creepy.
Before you say that, I should let you know, 70% of our audience, clowns.
I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. It's not.
But I find your stuff very, very creepy.
I think it's the unknown with clowns to me. What I hate, and I think you do too. I just don't know that you've found the words to express it. But I know there's some genuinely nice clowns out there who really, truly, they just want to make people happy. But I don't like masks. I don't like things that are hidden behind something. I like to see who someone truly is. And when there's, it's like a false sincerity type thing. I hate false sincerity from people. They don't have to be clowns. They can be a boss. They can be a friend. They can be anybody who is being falsely sincere about something, meaning they're not really being honest about how they're feeling, but they're acting like they are. They're trying to manipulate almost. And a clown's job is to make someone happy. But if I don't want to be happy, I don't want a clown to try and make me happy. And I think what's interesting about carnivals is when we look back at the old big top type carnival shows and things of that nature, what you had there, and you've actually gotten somewhat of an education on it from the world of like The Greatest Showman and things like that. When those things were originally in their incarnations and when they were, floating around America and around the world, what you had were groups of people who were really ostracized from the rest of society. And some of the only places they could fit in or make a living was by exploiting what they at the time used the term freak show, because there was something, a deformity or something that was not right with the individual, something that they could not help. But the only way that they found that they found peace was with others who shared that somewhat of a similar experience in life and the ostracization from the rest of society. And it's in one way, it's good that they found community and people who didn't shun them. But at the same time, a lot of those people went through their lives being very sad because of being ostracized from and cut out from everybody else. And you're just like, this is your circle and that's it. And everyone is, you're like, your only use in life is to be looked at as an object, looked at as this freak, as they called it. Rather than for the human being and person that they were. And I think there's a lot of sadness that goes along with the world of like the 1910, 1920s, 1930s circuses, not just, joy that they would bring to its viewers, but I think internally there's a lot of sadness. Yeah.
I find masked people very, very scary.
Masked people?
Yeah.
So how do you feel on Halloween? A little different thing because everybody's doing it?
I don't see anybody that's like, well, unless if it's like a wolf or like a horror clown costume.
Mm-hmm. You're good?
We're good.
Yeah, because otherwise, because it's just, but if it's not during Halloween season, it's,
it's just like, get the hell away from me.
Although what's interesting now is I was thinking the other day when we went into the Lowe's Garden Center to get some plants, I was thinking if I had walked into Lowe's 1 year ago today looking the way I did, because I had a baseball hat on, I had very big sunglasses on, and then I had my my COVID, the facial mask, covering my face. And that's normal now. But all you really saw of me, if you were trying to identify me, was my nose. You like height, skin color, and nose is all, like, if you try to get a facial description, you couldn't do it because I was so masked up. And what my thought was that a year ago, had I walked into a store like that, they would have thought I was robbing them. Because that's what people do when they're going to rob a business. Typically, you mask them. You get masked up. You have something on so you can't be recognized. But now everybody is wearing masks because you need to. But it makes me wonder, like, well, how is that impacted? I mean, I would be weirded out, I think, and I'm guessing a lot of folks who work like a counter at a store or something would be weirded out at first, especially like gas stations and such, where that had always been a sign forever that, oh God, they're coming in looking like this in a disguise. I'm going to get robbed. Then suddenly everyone is coming in looking like they're going to rob the store, but they're just buying Cheetos and lawn furniture.
And the other day, I know we're not talking about the circus thing anymore, mm-hmm. but the other day we saw, like, do you remember like that little scale that had one bird and then this other group yeah. on the birds? That's me. I'm this bird on the other side while everyone's doing their own thing. I'm over here making a living.
you're not a follower is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that it was that I identify with that bird statue too, where it was like all these birds following one way, and then there's just one over here that's just kind of doing its own thing. You did look at that statue and went, I'm that bird. Like, yes. Yes, you are that bird, Harper.
And they're like this like other crystal ball like under it.
Yeah.
It's just like
the bird statue spoke to you.
Yep.
It did. I kind of want to get that bird statue. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening and keeping us on the air. We could not do the show without you. If you're not supporting the show and you would like to get all the bonus content, go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Sign up monthly, $5 a month, or get 1 month free when you sign up for an annual membership at either location. Until next time, for Harper and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.